This way. You follow me.
Where are you taking me?
You want special sight? I have for you. Make feel good.
Good. Special? Huh?
Only for special client. But as much money.
I have money.
Show me.
I have money. See, money.
Here. Come here. Closer. Show me money.
Yeah, show money. Much money.
Closer.
Much money.
Much money.
The Man with the Twisted Lip by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Peter Mackey. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Robin Herford as Hugh Boone. The Man with the Twisted Lip.
Despite my long association with Sherlock Holmes, our professional paths rarely crossed. Naturally, there were occasions when, in pursuance of some of the many criminal investigations we undertook together, my experience as a medical man was of especial value. But to be consulted as a doctor, and then find that my independent course of action brought me into direct contact with a case upon which Holmes was engaged, that was a rare event indeed. The particular adventure I have in mind first involved me at the end of a long and trying day at my practice. Mary, as I recall, was engaged with her needlework, whilst I must confess, was already glancing at the clock and contemplating the joys of a good night's sleep.
A patient. You'll have to go out.
Last.
John.
No, sorry, my dear. We heard the front door open, a few hurried words, and then quick steps upon the linoleum. Our own door flew open, and a lady, clad in some dark-coloured stuff, with a black veil, entered the room.
You will excuse my calling so late.
Why, it's Kate Whitman.
Oh, I'm in such trouble.
Kate,
I do so want a little help.
My dear, what is the matter?
I didn't know what to do, so I came straight to you.
Oh, of course you did. It was very sweet of you. Now you must have some wine and water and sit here comfortably and tell us all about it. Or should you rather that I sent John off to bed?
Oh, no. I want the doctor's advice and help, too. It's about Isa. He's not been home for 2 days. I'm so frightened for him.
Mrs. Whitney, has your husband returned to his old habit? Has he taken to opium again?
Yes.
I feared he would.
Oh, but he tried, Doctor. And I know he tried to keep it from me, too. Well, up until now, his orgies have always been confined to one day, and he would come back twitching and shattered in the evening. But now, he's been away for 48 hours. What am I to do? Please, you must help me. Please.
Which den does he make use of?
It's near the docks. The Bar of Gold in Upper Swandam Lane. Oh, but how can I make my way into such a place?
And perhaps I could escort you. No, on second thought, I could manage it better if I were alone. Yes, as your husband's medical advisor, that is my responsibility. I believe I may still be able to influence him. If indeed he is at the address you have given me, you have my word. I will send him home in a cab within 2 hours.
Please be careful, John.
Of course, my dear. I shall be as quick as I can. And so, in 10 minutes, I had left my armchair and cheery sitting room behind me, and was speeding eastward in a hansom on a strange errand, as it seemed to me at the time, though the future only could show how strange it was to be. Upper Swandam Lane is a vile alley lurking behind the high walls which line the north side of the river to the east of London Bridge. Between a slop shop and a gin shop, approached by a steep flight of steps leading down to a black gap like the mouth of a cave,